This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
July is National Ice Cream Month, and if you missed out on National Ice Cream Day on Sunday, you still have the rest of the month to celebrate. This morning, we're going to be hearing from Joyce Vickery with the St. Louis Dairy Council. As it turns out, National Ice Cream Month was declared by President Reagan in 1984.
National Ice Cream Month actually got its start in 1984. Ronald Reagan was the president, and he declared July as National Ice Cream Month, and of course the third Sunday in July is National Ice Cream Day, and that was just yesterday, July the 17th. But I think he had it all right. He said that ice cream was the perfect dessert, and he called for all Americans to observe this event with appropriate ceremonies and activities.
Although ice cream is commonly considered unhealthy, Joyce says that's not the case. The good news is that we can still eat ice cream and have a healthy diet.
All food can really fit into a balanced diet, and enjoying the food you eat is a very important part of eating as well. And, of course, since ice cream is made from milk, it has some nutrition advantages that some other desserts do not have, because ice cream will contain calcium, protein, and phosphorus. The other thing we need to remember is probably our serving size. A half a cup is usually the amount of ice cream that's considered to be the recommended serving size. So that's about the size of a tennis ball or a scoop of ice cream. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that there are some labeling changes that are coming up for next year. And so instead of listing maybe the serving size for ice cream as a half a cup, instead they're going to list it as a cup, because that's probably closer to the real serving size that many people do enjoy. But again, it all comes down to moderation with the foods. And again, just remember, all foods can fit into a healthy diet, including ice cream.
Even though milk is the primary ingredient in ice cream, it contains some other important items as well, and most of them are the reason we need portion control. According to Joyce, there's even a law that determines the quantity of milk fat found in the food.
The primary ingredient is milk or cream, and by law, ice cream must contain at least 10% milk fat, and some of the premium brands of ice cream that are out there actually do contain even more than that. The amount of fat will just improve the texture and the mouthfeel, and it just really does make the ice cream taste delicious. So along with that, of course, there are things like sugars and flavorings. They do add stabilizers and emulsifiers, and these both help the texture of the ice cream and help to prevent or slow down the melting of the ice cream.
Joyce Vickery, nutrition educator for the St. Louis Dairy Council. And with all of the milk that goes into ice cream, I thought it'd be a good time to remember that dairy cows, on average, produce 6 to 7 gallons of milk per day. According to the Wall Street Journal, Monsanto on Tuesday again rejected Bayer Ag's takeover proposal, saying that Bayer's improved $65 billion bid still undervalued the biotech seed giant, but it left the door open to further talks with Bayer and other parties. Monsanto called Bayer's bid financially inadequate and insufficient to ensure deal certainty. Monsanto's board of directors unanimously rejected it. Bayer said on Tuesday in a press release that it's looking forward to continued dialogue with Monsanto under an appropriate confidentiality agreement allowing access to additional information. A Bayer spokesman declined to explain if the two companies have reached a confidentiality agreement and said that the dialogue with Monsanto would continue. While some Monsanto investors say they are interested in a sale at the right price, they're still concerned about selling at a low point in the cyclical agricultural business after 3 straight years of declining crop prices have U.S. farm income on track to hit its lowest level since 2002. The USDA's Ag Marketing Service has proposed changes to both the beef and soybean checkoff programs. In special circumstances, the proposed changes would allow producers to request that their assessment be sent to a certified state board or the national checkoff. Feedstuffs says in most cases, assessments are collected by a certified state board, which keeps a portion of it before sending the rest on to the Cattlemen's Beef Board or the United Soybean Board. Some states have laws that allow state assessments, and some don't. As a result, the Ag Marketing Service decided to add a provision to the promotion and research orders that allow producers to redirect them to national programs in certain cases, and it ensures that producers pay the full amount. For producers to request their assessments go from a state program to a national one, they have to live in a state that meets two requirements. Number one, there isn't a state law requiring assessments to a state board or council, or number two, there is a state law requiring assessments, but it allows for refunds. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.